as it is in heaven. In my family as it is in heaven. In my church as it is in heaven. And in my community as it is in heaven. We talked a little bit about, a little more in detail on our Wednesday nights, but I'm going to kind of just let you in on what we've been talking about, and that is, this is a very important point, and that is, heaven is full of people who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the writer says, Jesus, it's recorded by John the Apostle in John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but you do not know where it comes from. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Hear me today. Our prayer and our theme this year is in earth as it is in heaven. And if it happened in heaven, it can happen here on earth. If it takes this to get to heaven, it's going to take that to get to on earth. So we see that we cannot enter nor even see heaven without being born again. So we know that heaven is full of born again believers. If you've been born again, would you clap your hands and say hallelujah? We have found this out, that heaven is full of people who are cheering us on. For the writer of Hebrews writes, Hebrews 12:1, Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. So what we can gather here, and again, this is going to be the condensed version, but what we can gather here is that there is a group of witnesses who have pioneered the path that you and I walked down. They blazed a trail that you and I are walking today. They are our cheering section. So when you feel like you don't have enough strength to get by, they're up there saying, You've got this. You can do it. You just got to keep walking. There's those up in heaven right now says, I know exactly what you're going through, but if you keep walking, Jesus will make sure you begin it and finish the race. That's happening in heaven. And we want that here in this earth. We want you to make it. That if you're serving the Lord, you're not alone. Look at somebody now and say, you're not alone. How many's ever been discouraged? How many's ever had more bills than they do money? How many's ever... Yeah, there we go. How many's ever faced a situation and you felt like you were alone? But guess what? Heaven says there's a cloud of witnesses up there, and if there's a group of people cheering us on, I tell us today that in this very room, we're going to keep cheering you on. You're going to make it. God is able to heal. God is able to deliver. God is able to provide. We have found that heaven is full of people who are worshiping our Lord. For the Bible reads in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for was slain, you were slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation. Let me let me just take a preacher pause and say, if there's a multicultural church in heaven, there needs to be a multicultural church here on earth. Aren't you thankful for that today? That it doesn't matter what, we speak the heavenly language, we speak God's language. The Bible says this, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven on earth and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them here, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. I say today that if that is in heaven, it most certainly can happen here in this earth. If they're born again in heaven, guess what? We can be born again right now. If they're shouting encouraging words from heaven, we can do the same right now. You're going to make it. And of course, if there's worship going on in heaven, we're going to be a worshiping type of people here in this earth. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that when I walk into the house of God, I'm not by myself, but we're worshiping together. It doesn't matter what we've dealt with all week or even up to this very moment. One moment in God's presence can change everything. One moment in God's presence can change everything. And so if they're worshiping in heaven, we can worship here in earth. I'm thankful for that. I know sometimes when we walk into a church, especially something like this, we're considered Pentecostal because they thought they were crazy. We might be a little crazy. I know you're thinking, man, I wish I could tell that person right behind me, you're a little crazy, but I better not. That's was that Angie again? Oh, we got a new one. She said, that's right. So the person, no, I'm not going to go there. But John the Revelator, he had more to say about heaven that we can understand is what we need to apply to our lives today. Matter of fact, he said this, and this is who is not in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and 8, the Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So I'm going to just kind of lay it out there today. The fearful are not in heaven. Oh, someone's thinking now, well, I just experienced the emotion of fear not too long ago. But according to this particular text, fearful will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And again, hear me today. This is not necessarily talking about the emotion of fear or the feeling of anxiousness, because let's just be real. Every last one of us have been afraid at one point in time. Come on, somebody, help me out today. How many's ever been fearful of something? How many's been anxious of something? So it's not discussing or stating that it's those who will not, because heaven wouldn't be very full then. But rather, it literally is interpreted, it's the cowardly. Not the cowardly lion either. It's the ones who lacked spiritual fortitude to take a stand. Heaven is for those who are willing to stand for Jesus and let the world go by. That's the ones. The fearful, they're going to have their part, but it's those who are unwilling to stand for what's right. Heaven is for those who willingly, though, stand up for righteousness, stand up for biblical principles, stand up in the face and in the spirit of opposition that is against the ways of God. Are there anybody here today that says, I'm not fearful about that? I will take a stand for Jesus. I will take a stand for His ways. I will. And it's those who are in heaven. Revelation 21 and 8, the ESV version reads, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Look at somebody right now and say, you better be standing. Turn around and look at somebody else and say, you need to stand. You need to stand. You need to stand. I'm not talking physically, but I'm talking in your faith. Amen. I'm talking about when everybody else says, I can't do that because it's not right to say that. If the Bible says it, it's right. Amen. If we don't want to stand for what's right, you're going to be left. Come on, somebody. But standing isn't always easy. Being strong and steadfast, it's not always easy. When others are cowering or giving way to the age-old tactics of warfare, where public opinion is changed by any form of proclamation, cause some sort of division for a diversion, and ultimately create some sort of chaos, and that for whatever reason, it always starts in the mind, doesn't it? It always just sometimes, if we could start the battle between your two ears, we're going to win most of the battle. If I can get you down by any way, shape, or form through proclamation, whether we're hearing it, listening to it, watching it, if I can get that proclaimed to you and put it in front of you long enough, you'll believe everything you see and hear, everything that you might feel, because we're emotional people and our emotions are also linked to our spiritual standings. And so the age-old tactic that was even used today, that is used today, it's been used throughout history and even into the biblical times. It's the story it unfolds in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's been rendered in paintings, church dramas, Sunday school classes, and pulpits all across the known world. It's the story of David and Goliath. We know the story. Everybody know the story of David and Goliath. It's our kids ought to know David and Goliath. But Scripture states that the battle was what they state in array. It goes along these lines found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. The Philistines drew up to their troops for battle. They deployed them at Soko in Judah and set up camp between Soko and Azekah at Ephes-Damon. Saul and the Israelites came together, camped at Oak Valley, and spread out their troops in battle readiness for the Philistines. The Philistines were on one hill, the Israelites on the opposing hill with the valley between them. A giant nearly 10 feet tall stepped out from the Philistine line into the open, Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail, and the spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. Goliath stood there and called out the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not a Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighters and pit him against me. And if he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will come and be your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and I kill him, you'll all become our slaves and serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man and let us fight together." When Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. The Bible says it. When Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. You see, you notice how that worked. The children of Israel were doing good. You can find this through Scripture. They were doing good at going through the military formations. They'd have the archers string their bows and the shieldsmen going out before them, and the swords and the spears were drawn from their sheathed space. They were posturing, bowing up their chest, acting like, you know how it is when you see someone getting ready to fight. I know we're in church. We're not supposed to talk like that. But you always see someone kind of puff their chest up a little bit. Huh? Come on. Yeah. And so they're going through these motions. They're posturing as if they're willing to step up and fight. But the moment the giant stepped up and opened his mouth, the Bible states it that the people of God lost all hope. Hear me today. If you're not alone, if the enemy has opened his mouth with an attempt to demoralize you and get you talked into quitting, but I'm going to tell us today that the fearful will not make it to heaven, so the best thing you and I can do is stand for God. But you want to emasculate a bunch of men? Bring someone in bigger. I'm telling you, these guys are all, these are warfaring men. I mean, they know a thing or two about fighting. But you want to mess with their mind? Give them, put someone bigger in front of them. You know, you want to, I talked about how I felt like I lost my man card that one day. When I looked over, I traded my pickup truck in for a minivan for my wife and our firstborn daughter, Chloe. And I looked over and I seen a girl, a young teenage girl at that. She had pink stripes on my pickup truck that I just traded in. And I'm sitting there in this little minivan. There's nothing against that stuff. I'm just saying I didn't feel very strong. I'm looking up. I had lifted. I had big tires on. It was lifted. It looked good when I drove it. It looked terrible when she drove it. And women can drive big trucks. It doesn't bother me at all. But you want to mess with somebody. Put a bully in with a loud mouth who knows psychological warfare, and then that's half the battle right there. You just get somebody that's got a loud mouth, and they'll start talking. That many times shuts the fight down. And I started wondering, why in the world didn't anyone take a shot at this 10-foot target or almost 10-foot target in front of them? Maybe a sharpshooter in the hills. I mean, both armies were situated in the hills, and the giant would come out into the valley. I mean, he's a hardened warrior here. His coat of bronze weighing up to maybe some state even 125 pounds. And the purpose of this article of protection was designed that even anybody, if they wore this coat of mail, as we might call it, they were able to move around still with whatever it was guarding their chest and their heart and were able to move without restrictions. I mean, they still had cat-like reflexes. It wasn't like, you know, fat guy in a little coat. I mean, some of you know what I'm talking about. I won't go there. But Goliath, I mean, this guy had a coat of mail on top of him. And it was 125 pounds at least. And it wasn't like he was out there going, oh, fat guy in a little coat. I know, you never know what's going to come out of my mouth sometimes. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like he was trying to, you know, break his way through it. He was able to move. He was able to fight, even though we had. That tells us something about the strength of this man, the agility of this man. I mean, a almost 10-foot tall guy able to move like that. I mean, I like watch football. Go Lions today. But anyways, I like watching them. But them linemen, I mean, the size of them, they're 350 pounds. And I'm like, how do they run like that? But they do. And that's Goliath here. He's got a spear that weighed in 15 pounds, just a spearhead, a bronze javelin, they said, was kind of like holstered or strapped to his back. I mean, imagine with me how that had to look to the people of God. I mean, the other day, I don't know what happened, talking about something being restricting and not being able to move. I come not to church, but I came here to set something up here at church, and I couldn't figure out. I threw a sweatshirt on, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't hardly move. I was like, I'd move better than this, I think. And then I got home and realized I threw my wife's sweatshirt on. I stretched it out. It's now an extra large or extra, extra large. But it was restricting me from doing what I was once able to do. Wasn't able to move very well. And now here's Goliath. He's got 125 pounds of bronze on him, just around him, and it is not restricting him one way or another. But I started wondering, why in the world didn't anybody take a shot at this guy, a sharpshooter? And it hit me. Here's why. The enemy seemed larger than life. The reflective armor was blinding with the sun, either on him or behind him. And then now imagine the shadow. I'm about to make a few points, and I'm going to help us to not be so fearful so we can make it to heaven. Somebody say amen. You see, the enemy messes with our minds by making things larger than what they really are. They're not to be ignored, because the devil does specialize using a magnifying glass. It might look one way, but add a shadow or a blinding light, add a magnifying glass to it, and you'll see things, you'll see details that you would have never considered before. The reason why the enemy of Gath was able to monopolize the moment on the minds of the people of God was because he had them looking and magnifying what was in front of them and not who was fighting for them. Hear me clearly today. Never once do we find Saul seeking the counsel of God in battle, but because now in front of them, it seems like it was larger than life. How many's ever faced a situation where everything seemed larger than life? So point number one, and I only got three, so we're going to get your crock pot meal soon. Point number one is, I'm going to tell you how not to be fearful, because we understand the fearful, the ones who are afraid to stand for God. We know they're not making it to heaven, so I'm going to try to get us to heaven today. Aren't you thankful for that? So point number one is, get your eyes on the Lord. If you want to make it out of this world, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Get your eyes on the Lord. Sometimes that means we have to turn some things off. Sometimes that means we have to shut some things down. Somebody say amen. 40 days, twice a day. That would demoralize and emasculate any warrior with previous scars and previous victories. So one of the ways that the enemy will attempt to defeat you and I and mess with our minds is by magnifying the problem, messing with our perspective. If the devil can get your mind centered on the problem and not the solution, if he can get your mind, my mind, focused on how the issue appears, then the battle's half won. So why did David win the battle? Psalms 121, Verse 1 says, he says this, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will let you keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Hear me today. Day. If you get your eyes on the Lord like David did, he's going to keep your goings, your coming, and your going. I'm going to tell you, if you're wanting to go to heaven, keep your eyes on the Lord. So why did David win? He settled the issue. The battle belongs to the Lord. Since chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, we find that David getting anointed with the oil. The anointing oil that ran down priests and prophets' heads for many years before. And now here he is, that same man being anointed by Samuel the prophet. And we understand that when Samuel poured that oil over his head, the Bible states that it ran down from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. It ran down his head. It ran around his eyes. It ran into his ears, over his lips, and down his chin. You see, because of that anointing, David, he didn't think the same way. Because of that anointing, David didn't see things the same way. Because of that anointing, David didn't hear things like he used to hear. You know what you and I need? We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost on our lives every single day. It'll affect how you see things, how you hear things, how you say things. Tell me, oh, hear me today. That's what's going to get you in heaven. Here's another point I want to add, though. Goliath came out screaming and shouting. He came out putting thoughts into their heads. 40 days is a long time. Twice a day, and that's quite the ordeal. That's a mind bully. I always ever had something just go over and over in your head. Thoughts, you know, this is happening, or this situation is bigger, out of my control. And it's just constantly, and it's just consuming your mind. Come on, let's be honest today. And that's exactly what we find in Scripture is happening to the man called David and the children of Israel. Some studies state that it used to take 21 days to form a habit, but most now have said it takes at least 60 days. But imagine with me 40 days twice a day. That's 80 times. So not only did Goliath form a habit of coming out and demoralizing them with his words, with his appearance, but he also formed a habit in their minds of what they heard and what they seen. You hear enough about your problem. You hear enough about a certain point of view. It's going to cause you to start believing it as the truth. Amen. So point number two is this. The enemy will attempt to mess with your mind by getting at you with his voice, or the voices around you. We got to be careful who we hang with. We got to be careful where we eat and who we talk to and who we let talk into our lives. I don't let any, if someone's trying to give me godly counsel, but they don't even serve the Lord, I'm not going to listen to them. Someone said, yeah, but they had a good point. I said, scissors are sharp. They have a good point, but I don't run with them. I could picture this beastly man arrayed in bronze, glistening metal, spitting out as he shouts, give me a man to fight. Let me make sport of him. Day in and day out, these people heard something to the point that obviously caused them to believe it. It literally caused, the Bible says that when he would come out, they lost all hope. They began to believe what they seen and what they heard. So how do we counter that? Romans chapter 10, 14, 17 states, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad good tidings. Amen. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And through this scripture, we can easily conclude that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's preached word. So if we stay with His word, hear me clearly today, if we stay with His word and we keep listening to the voice of God, the word of God, you're going to make it. But if we were to replace, stay away from the things of God, the mandates of God, if we were to replace faith with doubt, and it would go like this: doubt comes through not hearing the preached word, and not hearing the word will not allow you to hear God. I'm going to tell us today what will help you and I to overcome this bully in our minds is we've got to get ourselves into a place where we are hearing from the Word of God, the worship of the one true living God. We need to open up His Word every single day. Clap your hands and say hallelujah. There's another attempt, and I want to make regarding the mind and how the enemy works. 1 Samuel 17:8 says, Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not a Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, so pick your best fighter and pit him against me." He said, if he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand, you'll all become my slaves and our slaves to serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man and let us fight together. And when Saul and his troops heard the Philistines, they were terrified and lost all hope. You see how the enemy works. He wants to single you out and make you feel like you're alone in the battle. That you're all alone. You're the only one who has ever faced this. You are the only one who is dealing with this. You are the only one who has gone through this. How many's ever felt like that? Be honest, it's okay. We're on level ground here. Nobody's perfect. We're all just trying to make it to heaven. I felt like that. Hear me today. You cannot fight this battle alone. You cannot go through life without people around you, the right voices around you. You can't fight by yourself. The enemy, hear me today, is trying to make you feel isolated. But don't quit over a voice from the enemy. You know what? Why the enemy loves to get people all alone and feeling alone? You know why? Alone, that person becomes their own judge and jury. Alone, a person is right in their own eyes and they're their own attorney pleading their own case and no one will challenge them. You see, alone, you want to know how they break a prisoner who has went against the law? They put them in solitary confinement. They take them away from one environment where the person feels empowered with the assistance of others and breaks their mind, their will down by putting them alone. Everybody say alone. Hear me today. You need me and I need you. Would you clap your hands and say amen? You need me and I need you and we need each other because we're the body of Christ to this world. But there is a war for our minds. And I'm going to close with this. You're getting out of here quick, aren't you? Someone's thinking, well, the pot roast isn't quite done. You're okay. Number three is you must get into the presence of God. You and I must get into the presence of God. Long before David ever fought Goliath, the giant, who was messing with his mind, his family's mind, long before Elah, David found himself in the presence of God. David knew and he understood that the Lord delivered him from other battles, the lion and the bear, and was a very present help in time of trouble. You see, David knew God was going to deliver this giant into his hands. David knew God and understood that when God fights for you, nothing can stop the victory. So we find that David found himself many times in the presence of God. And the way that you and I are going to overcome the enemy of our soul, the way we're going to get rid of that fearful, not the emotion, not the anxious feeling, but rather that idea or that feeling where I cannot stand for the Lord. What we've got to do is get into the presence of a holy God. Ephesians chapter 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath pleased us, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Those spiritual blessings come from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what we find is get into God's presence. David, the overlooked one, let's all stand. David, the forgotten one. David, the shepherd, paled in comparison to his brothers who were warriors. All of those issues propelled him to not try to be their equal, but rather it propelled him into the presence of a living God. When David went to battle, he had the issue already settled. I've been in God's presence. And if God delivered me before, if God did this to me for me before, He'll take care of me again. He knew and understood that what one moment in the presence of the Lord could do. His presence might not change my situation, but it will change our perspective, and we've got to understand that. So I say to all of us today, we need our minds renewed. And it comes from Romans chapter 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I want to encourage you today. Get His word out. Seek His presence. Connect with others every single day. The Bible says it, in earth as it is in heaven. And the Bible states that what is not in heaven is the fearful. Everybody say the fearful. It's not the anxious. It's not the ones dealing with the emotion of fear. But rather, it's the ones who are unwilling to stand. How many are spiritually willing to stand? David took a stand, and I just told us today how we can take that stand. So we can make sure we're not labeled in Revelation 21 and 8. And that is, get your eyes on Jesus. It matters who we listen to and get into His presence. Would you, what right now, as we begin to sing this song, if you feel comfortable, if you're wanting to say, you know what, maybe we could just do this as a declaration of our stand. Someone said, why are we coming to the front for? Well, just make it your declaration. I'm showing the world. I'm showing the devil. I'm showing life. I'm standing. I might have issues, but I'm not timid about standing for the Lord. I might have fear and feel the feeling of anxious, the emotion of anxiousness, but not when it comes to standing for what's right. Not when it comes for standing for what His word says. And the reason why David received his victory was, one, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He was willing to stand for what was right. Because he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this person that is not in covenant with God Almighty? Who is this person? I'm telling us today, you're standing today. Maybe not a physical act, but you're standing today is a declaration that I will not back down to the enemy of our soul. I'm going to stand for truth. Let's lift our hands right now all across this place. Declaration today, Lord. This is my declaration, enemy of my soul. The fearful might not inherit the kingdom of God, but those that are willing to stand sure will. Those who are willing to step up and say, I stand for truth and let the world go by. I pray we keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, I pray you give us the strength to stand, not to back down. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray it right now, all across this place. Give us the courage. If you're able, lift your hands to heaven. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray right now. The person next to you is going to pray with you. But right now, in your, let the Spirit of the Lord just begin to minister. Lord, I pray. We've had moments where the enemy of our soul has come against our mind. We've had moments where things have challenged our faith. But God, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we will keep our eyes on you. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we'll keep our focus on you. Lord, let us shut out the voices. Let us shut out outside voices that are against your word, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will get into your presence and will allow your presence to get into each and every one of us. I pray in Jesus' name that our minds will be touched, guarded, and protected by you today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in earth as it is in heaven, in earth as it is in my life, God, as it is in heaven. Clap your hands unto the Lord today. And before we dismiss, just look at somebody and say, I'm going to keep standing. I'm going to keep standing. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you all for being here today. Keep standing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless you in the name of the Lord.